35, verses 1 to 10. The joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sands will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy with crowns on their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Our second reading tonight is from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never, ever end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The final reading is taken from the Gospel of John in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling place amongst us, and he pitched his tents amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Good evening. Half asleep already. Good evening. Much better. Are you enjoying yourselves?
Yes.
Good. I'll soon put an end to that. Actually, for those people that know me, I'd just like to say I'm enjoying myself. I'm sure somebody will explain that to the people that don't know me later. Okay, so by means of an introduction this evening, I'd like you to imagine something with me, if you will. I'd like you to imagine that you're on a quiet, lonely hillside. Quite chilly, so you're probably huddled up in your Gore-Tex jacket and you're feeling particularly smug about the thermal socks you got for Christmas last year. Okay? It's a starry night. Maybe the occasional wisp of cloud. All you can hear is the occasional bleat of a sheep and the odd braying of cattle from somewhere over the hillside there. And it's tranquil and quiet and in relative darkness. And suddenly, the sky is on fire with the light of the sun. in an instant, before you, hovering about 50 feet in the air, is a man on the biggest set of wings you have ever seen. And in a supernatural voice that you've never heard the like of before, he says,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news."
In my study Bible, it says a little note as to why the angel said that. Apparently, fear was a common reaction to angelic appearances. And so encouragement was needed. And I thought, really? You don't say. The first three of our readings this evening all said the same. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. And that's what I want you to hear this Christmas. There is no need to fear, because I have got some good news for you. For a start, this is the shortest sermon I'll have ever preached. The good news was said in the fourth reading that we've just had, that God has sent somebody so full of grace and truth to make the love of God known to us. Now, some of you may already be thinking, oh, I've heard this bit. Some of you may already have switched off and be starting to think, I wonder what I'm getting for Christmas this year. But I'd like you to indulge me for just a bit, because I want to tell you a story. I was fortunate enough back in February this year to take Catherine and Hannah and Charlotte, my daughters, Catherine's my wife, to New York. And one of the places I really wanted to visit was the site of the World Trade Center, which was by then undergoing major reconstruction following the tragedy of 9/11. And we were shown around the site by a guy called Chris, who was a survivor from Tower 2. And I'd like to tell you his story, if I may. You see, Chris worked on the 73rd floor of Tower 2. And at approximately 8:45 that morning, the first plane struck somewhere between the 94th and 98th floors of Tower 2. Unlike his colleagues, who saw what was about to happen, Chris worked with his back to the window. So he didn't see a thing. And the first thing he knew was as he slammed into the desk with the force of the impact. Now, Chris had trained in the New Jersey National Guard, so he'd got a few ideas as to what to do when things go slightly wrong. So he hit the floor, and he crawled his way out of the office area and across to an emergency stairwell. And he made his way down about 30-ish floors, till he got to around about the 40th floor. And there, he met the back of the queue of all those thousands of people waiting to take that next step closer to safety. Waiting and waiting and waiting. By this time, they'd already started to hear what had happened to their tower by use of cell phones and stuff, and they'd already started to hear what had happened to Tower 1 by then as well. And Chris started to get a bit worried. He didn't want to hang around here. And he remembered that there was another stairwell that had been closed off for some time for decorating or maintenance or some such. And he made his way out of the stairwell, and he made his way across to this other one, which took him safely down into the concourse area below the World Trade Center. Now, the concourse area was like a small town. It was full of everything from restaurants to shops, from shoe repairers to post offices, and it was in the most salubrious surroundings. Wonderful mirrors and plate glass windows and marble tiles. And in the darkness, Chris tried to find a way through it. At some point during this, as I said, Tower 1 had already got hit, and it had started to shudder due to the impact it had received, due to the damage it had sustained. And it was one of these shudders that made Chris get really worried. You see, he looked around him at all the plate glass and the marble tiles and the mirrors, and he saw a million different ways to be cut to ribbons. And so, realizing that he'd also gathered a few people with him by now, he shouted out to take cover, get into some cover, and he wedged himself between two pillars that were very tightly together. And no sooner had he done that than Tower 1 collapsed. And there were large shards of glass and marble and mirror flying through the air. It was Chris's worst nightmare. Disorientated by the events and the dust and the dark, when it sounded like all the big bits had stopped flying around, he decided this was probably a good time to get out. And so he tried to look for an exit, tried to find a way out of this awful situation. And he couldn't. Until he heard a voice, and the voice shouted, "Is anyone there? Come to the light." Only it was dark. The dust was preventing any light that might have been there. And he shouted out, "I can't see any light." So the voice shouted back, "Come to my voice. Walk towards my voice. Come to my voice. I'll keep talking. Walk towards my voice," over and over again. And Chris followed the sound. And you'll be pleased to know, since he was giving us the guided tour, you know he got out safely. And he led about 20 people to safety with him that day. Now, why am I telling you this story? Well, I'm telling you this story because I think that there are probably some people here this evening that are like Chris. You see, there are some people here that are sat with their back to the window. They don't know what's going to happen in life. They haven't got a clue what's going to happen in death. But they hope that if they can keep their back to the window, nothing bad will happen. See, the problem is that ignorance is not always bliss. Jesus came to earth to institute an annual celebration, not of overindulgence. So he didn't come to institute an annual celebration of overindulgence. He came to make a supreme sacrifice, giving his own perfect, sinless life so that we don't need to suffer the effects of our own imperfect, sinful lives. Why did he do such a thing unless the alternative that was on offer was so awful that it pained him to contemplate us experiencing it? Now, whether you want to call it hell or something else, whether you picture it like in literature with fire and pitchforks and horns, or whether you picture it as an empty void where there is nothing good or beautiful or lovely and everything evil and horrible, it doesn't matter. Because it was real enough for Jesus that he was prepared to do what he came to earth to do. And it should be real enough for us. You see, the end result is the same. I don't want to go there. And I don't really think you want to go there. And Jesus came so we didn't have to go there. This was the good news that the angel was talking about. This was the good news. You don't have to go there. And there'll be an opportunity at the end of this service. There'll be an opportunity at the end of this message for you to do something about it. To actually... In our last reading, we heard that all of those who received him, all of those who heard and followed his voice, he gives the right to become children of God. He came to earth to bridge the gap between humanity and God so that we could enter into a loving and fulfilling relationship with the very maker of the universe. There are still others who believe that they have followed the emergency exit signs. Maybe by being here this evening. Maybe by coming to church 3 times a year. They believe they're standing in that stairwell, and when the end comes, they'll have done enough to get out safely. The only way out is relationship with Jesus. It requires more than minimum attendance to the Jesus Club. It requires a day-by-day relationship with the most amazing man in the universe. The very creator who stooped down to earth and took the form of a baby, who grew to be the most amazing example to us all, and eventually hung on a cross for us all. He didn't see just turning up as good enough. And in fact, he criticized the religious of the day for just going through the actions but not living the relationship with his Father. But there is good news. There will be an opportunity to pray at the end of this, to change this evening, so that you can meet with Jesus personally and be bowled over by his love for you. Some here are scared. They're scared of all the things in life that can go wrong. They're in a dark and dangerous place, and they don't know what to do. I've got a message of good news for these people too. Do not be afraid. The very baby whose birthday we are celebrating this week grew up to say, among other things, this: the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I'm not going to say that life will be easy and without problems, because there probably will be problems and difficult times. But I will say this: do not be afraid, because the good news is that with Jesus Christ in your life, you will be better equipped to cope with what life throws at you. You'll be better equipped to cope with the marble tiles and shards of glass in life than ever you would be without him. This week, you don't have to wait until Christmas morning to unwrap and receive the greatest gift either. It's here for you now. All you have to do is believe. Believe in the Son of God, whose birthday it is this week. Ask him to be your Savior and to follow his voice where it leads. And finally, for everybody else that sat there thinking, well, that wasn't me, and that wasn't me, and that wasn't me, for those of you who have got a relationship with Jesus, let me ask you this. How many people are you going to lead to safety on your way out? What have you done to increase that number and to ensure that people you love and care for are among that number? Now, I'm going to say a prayer. And this is an opportunity for all those people that have got their backs to the window. An opportunity for all those people on the stairwell hoping that this is good enough. All those people that are scared and know that they really need Jesus in their life. I want you to pray it silently. For those of you who already know Jesus, I want you to be praying for one name that you want to see helped by Jesus in their life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I am not the person that you would have me be. I have sinned, hurting myself, others, and you. I have hidden from you, feeling scared of the things that have gone wrong in my life. But I am now truly sorry and want the relationship with you that you promise. So I ask you for your forgiveness, for your transforming presence in my life. I give you permission to work a miracle of love in my life today. And I thank you that you love me so much that this is just what you've been waiting for. Amen. For those of you that have prayed that prayer and really meant it, what I would ask you to do is, at the end of the service, and I'll remind you then, to come down and make yourself known to either Roger or myself or somebody that looks official. We'd love to chat with you. We'd really love to share more of the good news with you. God bless you. now may the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts this Christmas time. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Amen. And Merry Christmas.